Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter. Your Scofield Bible, page 734. Beginning with verse 8, we'll read responsively through verse 12. The text verse is the ninth verse, Isaiah chapter 25, verses 8 through 12. Stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Give you just a few more seconds to find the place. Page 734 in your Scofield Bible. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And together on the 12th verse. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. And let's pray. And Father, you've given us a wonderful book, a miracle book. Thank you for its preservation through these centuries. Thank you for faithful men who copied it out at thy word, and for those who died for it, preserving it. Thank you that we have today thy preserved word. We pray that you'd bless its preaching. Help us to understand that there's nothing more important in the whole world than what we're about to do now, and that is to listen to the preaching of thy word from the man of God, the man of thy choosing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, I say before I pray that this is one of the sermons, I am not really totally satisfied with the way I bundled it up. I didn't say bungled it up, I said bundled it up. I have bundled it, I shall bungle it. But I never shortchange you as far as time spent in preparation. However, there are times when I'll outline a sermon and then I'll want you to have the truth, but I'll think that I do not have it outlined properly, and I'll do it again. In this case, this is about the fifth outline that I've made for this sermon, and I spent, at least 40 hours trying to get it so that I can get it across to you. I'm going to start with the conclusion. And then go backward to the introduction. Everything's quiet all of a sudden now. But you're going to have to listen carefully, because I never have been satisfied yet with the arrangement of the truth I'm going to give you. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the waiting waiters. The waiting waiters. I hope you'll listen carefully. And Father, help me as I speak. If a desire to help would cause that help, then I'll be a help today. If a sincere heart would cause these people to be helped, then they'll be helped today. If time spent trying to decide how to deliver this truth would cause the people to be helped, they'll be helped. This is the only Sunday morning service we'll have this week, and so I pray you'll help me to be what the people need. Please, I hurt for what I'm about to say to get across. So please, may the people listen carefully, and somehow may what's in my heart, in my mind, enter theirs today. Amen. Oftentimes, I've said from this pulpit this statement. when I was a young man, I preached this Bible and told the people about the truths therein because I believed the Bible was true. And that's certainly enough reason. Every young preacher ought to preach it just like it's written, even though he has not had time to test it yet. But now, after all these over a half a century of preaching, I'm no longer a young man who says these principles are true because the Bible says it, though I do say that. But I say to you, these principles are true because I've tested them. I'm not a novice. I've over a half a century I've been preaching. This sometime in April I'll reach 65,000 sermons that I've preached through these over half a century of years. And I want to say this morning. I'm going to tell you how I've made it. It's not a testimony sermon, but it well could be. I want to tell you how I've made it. Now, if I can tell you how I've made it, then you can make it the same way. I know what it's like to face the wall. I mean that. I know what it's like to be at the end of my rope. I know what it's like to come in and wonder if I'll ever preach again. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to see no way out, no way in the world that I can humanly see a way out. I know what it's like to be attacked. I know what it's like to be scandalized. I know what it's like to be discouraged. I also know what it's like to make mistakes. I know, and yet through all these years, 40 years and 6 months of pastoring this great church, and all these years, 54 years now, preacher of the gospel, I've made it so far. Now, how have I made it? I want to share it with you this morning. I hope you listen to me very, very carefully. I never want to fight. I don't like to fight. I've often said I'd rather be in the Guinness Book of Records rather than the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm just not one that likes to fight. Oh, by the way, in case you attack me, I'm not one that runs from a fight either, in case you'd like to know that. But let me show you. I'm going to read for you without you turning to it, a verse in Habakkuk. It says this. Don't miss the verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it will surely come. I love that verse. Now, let me tell you what the verse says. And I'm not going to be a bombastic this morning. This is about a two-microphone sermon, I think. Though I'll be honest with you, this is very tempting. I feel like a man in a bowling lane. I want to just knock all the pins down. But there are five things that this verse says. One, it says, by the way, it was written at a time of suffering. Habakkuk wrote these words in a time of national suffering, and he was saying to the people that the suffering is going to end. Let me give you five things. I'll just read them. One, he is saying there is an appointed time for your suffering to end. God has appointed a time for your suffering to end. To those who are suffering this morning, let me say to you what Habakkuk said. There is an appointed time. Number two, it will end at that time. It will end at that time. Number three, don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to end your suffering and don't try to do it yourself. Number four, be patient. It will come. You see, these Israelites were being embattled and God said, now, look, the victory is going to come and the end is going to come and the suffering is going to end. Let me give you another passage of scripture. Listen carefully to it. I'll read it slowly. It's in Isaiah 25:9. We read it a while ago. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice. Now, in the passage a while ago from Habakkuk, it was talking about a suffering, and the suffering would end. Now, in this passage, it's talking about a battle. The enemy was going to come. Nebuchadnezzar was going to come with his mighty army and level the city of Jerusalem, and they were going to take the people off into bondage for 70 years. But God said, He said, number one, there is an appointed time for vindication. You don't take vindication in your own hands. You're not very good at it. You know, that's one reason why you shouldn't fight back against your enemies, because you don't have the weapons. Let God fight back. He's got a heap of weapons. He can hurt them a lot more than you can. I mean, He can cause lightning and tornadoes and earthquakes and storms and cyclones and hailstones and so. But it says this: you're in a battle. There is an appointed time for vindication. Now, let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about here. Number two, God will vindicate that which is right. I said again, God will vindicate that which is right. Number three, people will know it is God. Number four, we are glad we waited for Him. That's what it says. And then it says, in the end, we rejoice. Now, these two passages, one is the people who are suffering, and God says, wait on me. Wait for me, if you please. Wait for me. I'll see to it. It's going to end. And then we have the next passage of people embattled. And God says, wait for me. I will vindicate you. Now, the third passage I want to read is found in Micah 7, 7 through 10. And it says this, I will look unto the Lord. By the way, this is a guy who had sinned. Here's a fellow who had done wrong. He had sinned, was being punished for it, and folks were laughing at him because he had sinned. Now, this is what he said. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. She that is my enemy shall see it. Now, there's several things he says here. One, here's a man who had sinned. He said, I will look unto the Lord. And he says, I will wait for Him. Okay, so you sin. So you're being punished right now. Well, just get back to serving God and wait for God. The end is going to come. You see, God is not like we are. We blackball a fellow forever. A kid gets kicked out of school and he's a bum forever. But that's not the way God is. God says you'll have to suffer for that a while, but your suffering will end. He said in the first scripture I read, your suffering is going to end, so hang in there and wait for God. It'll end. He said in the second place, your battle will end, and I will vindicate you, so wait for God, and the victory will come. In the third place, he said, so you have sinned, and you are paying for that sin. He says, take it like a little man, like Mother used to say, take it like a little man, because the end of the punishment's going to come. I'm saying the whole thing is if you are in sorrow, wait on the Lord, the end is going to come. If you are in a battle, wait on the Lord, He will bring the victory. If you have sinned, go ahead and wait on the Lord. The time is going to come when your punishment will have ended. By the way, these verses are biographies of great men. Douglas MacArthur, seeming defeat, said, I shall return. He waited. Lester Roloff, in jail, because of his stand for truth and freedom, in jail. He waited, and victory came. By the way, victory came from MacArthur, too. And to me, the saddest thing in my lifetime is that Douglas MacArthur never sat in the White House. No, that's second saddest. Saddest is that Clinton did. I mean, can you imagine Douglas MacArthur never sitting in the White House and Bill Clinton sitting there? I think I'll kick a microphone, too. John Rice, because of his stand for the book and the truth, hit the bottom of his ministry. So the Lord's subscriptions went from 100,000 down to about 39,000 subscriptions at the bottom. But John Rice waited, and victory came. Boy, I like that. I'm telling you, I love that song Bill Burr sang. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. But now it does not mean the victory is going to come today, but it will come. If you're in a battle and you're for a right, victory will come. If you're suffering, victory will come, and the suffering will end. There's an appointed time. Or if you have sinned, God's not going to make you suffer forever and ever and ever. He's going to spank you, but then He's going to hug you and say, there's a time for that suffering to end. Now, I say that this morning to all of our administrators and all of our teachers and so forth. Let's not make a kid suffer the rest of his lifetime because he makes a mistake. There is such a thing as paying the price, getting back on your feet, and amounting to something. Now, wait a minute. Martin Luther waited. I'm in a chat mood this morning. I've been interested in this Bob Jones thing. You know, about Bob Jones Sr. said that the Pope was the Antichrist. Well, anybody, Walthead says terrible. Did you ever hear about a Reformation? Did you ever hear about that? Did you ever hear about all the Baptist people being killed with that crowd? Ever hear about that? Did you ever hear about the Inquisitions? Huh? You say, you criticize the Catholics. No, I'm not. I'm simply saying, let them stand up and speak why they murdered Baptist people for a while and quit trying to criticize somebody because they made some statement, careless though it may have been. Enough for that. I don't think that's enough for that. Martin Luther was at the bottom, but he waited, and victory came. Joseph in prison, but he waited, and victory came. John Bunyan in the Bedford jail, but he waited, and the victory came. John Wesley, every pulpit in England was closed to him, and yet he waited, and the victory came. Let me read you a list of men who were voted out of their nominations. Here they are. I mean, voted out. Lee Robertson, John Rice, Charles Spurgeon, Joe Boyd, Lester Olaf, Dwight Moody, J. Frank Norris. That's a hall of fame of preachers. Hey, you know how to get famous, fellas? Get in a denomination and get voted out. These are men who said, we'll take our stand. Let hell freeze over. We'll take our stand. We'll stand for what's right. And bless God, in every case they waited, and victory came. Hang in there, suffering one. Victory's going to come. Hang in there, in battle one. Victory's going to come. Hang in there, person who's made a mistake. Get back in the service of God. Hang in there. Victory's going to come. We're all on the winning side. That's what it's saying here. David chased us all, waited, but victory came. David Livingston, scandalized by his enemies, waited, but victory came. Bob Jones Sr. came to the bottom of his ministry, but victory came. And the same is true with great lay people. Wait. I'm saying the secret is to wait. Wait for the Lord. It will come in, deliverance will come in due time. Wait for vindication. Deliverance will come in due time. Wait for results. Deliverance will come in due time. Wait for the victory. Deliverance will come in due time. Wait for restoration. Deliverance will come in due time. There are many great lay people who waited for the Lord as well as great preachers. How about Randy Erickson? How about my mama, who put up with an alcoholic husband, lived in unbelievable poverty, to rear a couple of kids? How about Susanna Wesley, married to a jailbird, and yet she taught John and Charles and her 17 other children every week in personal sessions, and she waited, and just as Randy Erickson waited, and victory came, and my mama waited in little shacks of houses, and one night she stood behind this very pulpit before 7,000 people here from all over America and around the world, and was honored. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a God in heaven, and He is the leader and the general, and we're on His side. You don't have to fight your battle. Let Him fight your battle, and suffering will end. There's an appointed time, and victory will come. There's an appointed time, and your punishment will cease, and God will use you again. There's an appointed time. So wait for the Lord. How about Martin Evans? How about Earlene Stevens? How about Don Boyd? and countless others in this great congregation who have been through suffering, but they waited for the Lord, who have been through battles, but they waited for the Lord, who have in some cases been chastised because of sin and mistakes, but they waited for the Lord. I'm trying to tell you this morning that suffering will end. Hang in there. I'm trying to tell you victory will come. Hang in there. I'm trying to tell you punishment will cease. Hang in there. God has an appointed time. Listen carefully. The sermon is not preached yet. In the next 10 minutes, I want to give you the sermon. What are you supposed to do while you wait for the Lord? You're supposed to wait on the Lord while you wait for the Lord. So you say, well, sit down and say, well, I'll just sit here. God's going to give the victory. God doesn't give victories to sinners. While you wait, you wait. While you wait for the Lord to act, you wait upon the Lord. Now, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? It means like your waiter waits on you at the restaurant. You go to Miss Howell's now at a restaurant. What's the name? A fellow came up and said, you want some more water? Want some more water. You know, is everything all right? Everything's all right. That means that just like an attentive waiter or waitress at a restaurant is doing the best to give us what we want, we're supposed to, while we're waiting for the suffering to end, while we're waiting for vindication in the battle, while we're waiting for our punishment to end, we're supposed to say, dear Jesus, anything you want? Lord, anything you want? We wait upon Him like a stewardess waits on you on an airplane, or a waiter or a waitress waits on you at a restaurant. Well, hey, here's what we do. Trouble comes, we retreat. We become reclusive. We retreat. Hey, don't do that. Hey, sit down there, sir. Hey, sit down. We're having church here. Hey! Sit still. Listen to me carefully. While we wait, that goes to you fellows to sit down. Wake up. The thing we do while we wait for the Lord is to wait upon the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in every battle I've ever fought, I didn't quit my job. I accelerated my job. I didn't resign my Sunday school class. I tried to build my Sunday school class. I didn't resign the church. I tried to do more in the church. And if you wait up on Him, bless God, He will see to it that deliverance comes and victory comes. While you wait for Him, wait on Him. Now, how can I wait on Him? Don't miss it. How can I wait on the Lord? He says that. He says, I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, this is Jesus talking, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And they said, Lord, we don't recall having you over for dinner. We don't recall buying you a Whopper. We don't recall buying you a Big Mac, or a quarter pounder with cheese, or a burrito at Taco Bell, or some fried chicken at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Shall we stand for our closing prayer, please? Wait a minute. They said, Lord, you said you were hungry, we fed you. We don't remember that. You said you were thirsty, we gave you a drink. We don't remember that. When did we feed you? When did we give you something to drink? He said, Lord, you said you were a stranger, and we took you in. We don't recall you staying at our house. And you said that you were naked. We told you, Lord, I don't recall buying you a new suit or a new pair of shoes or a new shirt and tie. Lord, I don't remember that. And Lord, you said I was sick. Lord, I don't remember you being sick and us coming to see you. Or you being in prison and we came to visit you. He said, listen to me carefully now. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Listen carefully to me. Those people that got up out of Howe-Emerson College this morning at 4 o'clock and went on a cold morning and got their bus. Went over to Chicago or some of the ghettos around here and picked up a bunch of poor little bus kids. While most of us were still sound asleep, they were getting ready to do that. and they got those little bus kids, and some of them will buy those little bus kids a bite to eat. And don't you ever criticize a bus person for giving out hot dogs to his bus. Bless God, some of those kids had never had a hot dog before, and they bring them to church, and those kids are sitting here this morning or somewhere in this property hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I was a bus kid, and you came and brought me to church. Well, when were you a bus kid? Inasmuch as you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, these people working over here with these educated old people, and those poor folks working back there with the deaf, and those folks working up there with the street people, and the folks working up here with the rescue mission people, and the blind people, and all the others. I mean, that's the way you give Jesus a hamburger. You buy one of his children a hamburger. So, what am I supposed to do while I wait for the Lord? For the suffering to end, for victory to come, for punishment for mistakes or sins to cease, while I wait for the Lord, for victory, for the end of punishment, for the end of suffering, what am I supposed to do? Wait on the Lord while I wait for the Lord. Well, how can I wait on the Lord? By serving His people. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not a good example. But for 40 and a half years, I've stood behind this same piece of wood. And I've cried myself to sleep a heap of nights. And I've faced the wall many a night. And I've wondered if I could walk to the pulpit again, time and time again. In recent months, with my heart problem, I've wondered. You said, preacher, how have you taken all these battles? How have you done it? In the first place, hear me carefully. I've let Jesus fight battles I cannot fight. And I fight battles He cannot fight. He's not here. He can't pastor you. He can't help you. He can't keep you. He can't feed you and clothe you and care for you. He's not here. But I'm not there. So I said, Jesus, you take care of things up there where I'm not. I'll take care of things down here where you're not. And it's time some of you people put your selfishness and I, me, my, we, ours, and realize Jesus wants some food. Jesus wants a drink of water. Jesus wants a coat on his back. You say, how can I do it? By serving others. Yesterday, I served you. I've served you all week. I've served you for 4.5 years. I'm not your dictator. I'm your servant. Why? All right. Yesterday morning, I got to the church 7:55. Had an appointment at 8. Had an appointment at 8:15. Had an appointment at 8:30. Had an appointment at 8:45. Had an appointment at 9. Had an appointment at 9:30. Had an appointment at 9:45. Met with the teenagers from 10 o'clock to 10:45. Had an appointment at 10:45. Had an appointment at 11. Had an appointment at 11:30. Had an appointment at 12. Met with the groom getting married at 1:30. Had a wedding at 2. Went home and ate a quick bite. Came back and had a staff meeting at 6. Had a rush to a deacon's meeting at 7. Rushed back to an appointment at 7:30. I was a few minutes late for the appointment. Had another appointment. Walked out of here last night at 10 o'clock. What have I been doing all day? I've been serving Jesus. Have I been serving Jesus? Trying to salvage your marriages. Trying to help you young people. Trying to chart the course for you college students. My job is not to stand up here. Some of you preachers, boys, you want to someday have a place where you can grow your stack 3 times a week. Well, okay, grow your stack. Oh, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Grow your stack 3 times a week. But between stack growings, serve your people. Wait on them. I wait on you by keeping your schools open. I sit in my office hour upon hour upon hour saying, wondering, how can we make the payroll? How can we meet the bills? $45,000 every day of the year has to come in to this ministry here. And nobody else worries about it a great deal except a few of the financial secretaries and myself. You say, Brother House, What are you saying? I'm saying the fact that your kids have a school to go to is because I waited on you for 40 years and a half. 567 employees. But now, wait a minute. All this time, I've got 3 lawsuits. Not now. 3 major lawsuits against me and or the church. And all this time, I've got something wrong down in here. I don't know what it is. And all this time, I have battles and criticisms and all of it. You say, preacher, how do you take it? I'll tell you how I take it. I let God take care of what I can't take care of, and I take care of what He can't take care of. I'm waiting on Him while I wait for Him. And hallelujah, He always stays on schedule. And I'm here this morning as a living testimony of what I'm preaching. I leave the ecclesiastical battles to others. I leave the calling of names a lot to others. I leave trying to straighten out the churches around the country to others. My job is to wait upon the Lord. And so, when I wait upon Him, that's what I do while I'm waiting for Him. But some of you say, well, I just don't feel like I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't feel worthy. Who in the world is worthy to go to church? Well, I just don't think I'm worthy to teach my Sunday school class anymore. Who in the world is worthy? Tell me, who in the world is worthy to take the eternal Word of God and teach it? Nobody is worthy. But we have a God in heaven. You listen to me. We have a God in heaven. That's a good point right there. We have a God in heaven. And He is a living God. And that God has set the appointed time for your suffering to end. Wait for it. That God has set the appointed time for your victory to come in your battle. Wait for it. And that God has set the appointed time for your suffering to end, your punishment to end. Wait for it. But while you wait for God, wait on God. And you wait on God by waiting on His people. How long has it been since you gave Jesus a drink of water? How long has it been since you bought a new suit for Jesus? How long has it been since you bought a meal for Jesus? If Jesus Christ walked here today, we'd fight so He took Him out to eat. I had Him in our homes for lunch. He's here. He's up there with those rescue mission men. He's up there with those homeless people. The ones that bother you. You bother Jesus. If they bother you, ones that call you to slide over because they don't smell as good as you do. They smell as good as you just had a bathtub or a shower. But if you smell, they could if they won't. That's not the issue, ladies and gentlemen. Our job is to let God take care of vindication and the victory and the end of the suffering. And let while we wait for Him to do it, let's look and say, what can we do to wait on Him? And the way you wait on Him is to wait for others and wait on others. So I've not gone out and fought my own battles a great deal. That's His business. But I stand behind this pulpit this morning as a living testimony to what I've preached. I have waited for Him. And while I've waited for Him, I've tried to wait on Him. And how have I waited? And how have I waited on Him? By waiting on you. I'll close with this. Several times this week, I've literally shouted in my office several times.
I won't tell you all of them, but I'll tell you one. About a year ago or so, a couple having marital problems came to me for counseling. I tried so hard to help them. They came back. And how many times I counseled, I don't know, but I failed. And they separated. And when they left the last time, I said, "Dear God, I'm sorry. We ought to have a pastor that can get them together." And I wept and I wept and I wept. I put their name on a piece of paper. I put it inside the drawer in my office. Every day I walked into my office for a year, I prayed for that separated couple. I know how they're doing. I got a letter this week. I said, "Brother Hiles, we're back together. And we're happy. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your care." If you ever get a taste one time of the heavenly manna of serving others, you'll never want to feast on the garbage of selfishness again. And so while you wait for Him, wait on Him. And then you do that by serving other people. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My wife will tell you that sometimes I go to bed and I say to her, "I think I'm worn out." She said, "You mean you're tired?" "No, I think I've just lived so long, I'm worn out. And yet I keep on kicking more." Why? Tell you why? I'm not trying to fight my battles. He fights my battles. While I wait on Him. While I wait for Him. I wait on Him. Now, wait a minute. Isaiah 40:31 doesn't say, if you wait for the Lord, that'll renew your strength. It says, if you wait upon the Lord, that'll renew your strength. What is it saying? It's saying, if you look to Jesus and say, "Jesus, what can I do? Let somebody cross my path I can help today. I'll help them. Let a hungry person cross my path, I'll feed them. Let a discouraged college student cross my path, I'll encourage them. Let a broken home cross my path, I'll try to mend it. Dear Jesus, I'll try." That'll make you stronger. And that's why I'm the oldest man who's ever lived of a church running more than 3,000 people who's pastored. He's 70, almost 74 years old. Nobody's ever done it before. How do you do it? I'm waiting on people. Why? That's waiting on the Lord. Why? Because I'm waiting for the Lord. And while I'm waiting for His vindication, I'm not going to sit down on my stinking blessed assurance. Do nothing. Say, "Okay, Lord, take over." No, sir. I'll say, "Dear God, I'll wait for You. But while I wait for You, I'll wait upon You." Boy, I wish I could get it across. Bow your heads, please. Our Heavenly Father.
Open your Bibles, please.